Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo back here with you in the producer's chair, filling in for Sean Carey, who has the day off once again. Sean will be back with you later on this week, tomorrow, and for Friday's show as well. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can check out the show on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. We're at the Steve Jones Show on Facebook. Steve Jones at WKOK.com is our email. And subscribe to us for our Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or iTunes as well. We'll have them usually at the end of a couple minutes after each hour that you can download the podcast for each show as well. They're also available at SteveJonesShow.com. We have a brand new app as well in the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app for WKOK and the rest of our five Sunbury Broadcasting stations. To make sure to re-download the app if you haven't done so already so you get all those brand new updates that helps you get to those new podcast subscriptions on Apple, Google Play, or iTunes. So make sure you do that today. A lot to talk about here today with Steve coming up. We'll see what he has in mind in particular, but we have the NFL draft coming up tomorrow night. First round from Nashville. Should be a great weekend. We have Austin Gale from Pro Football Focus joining us later on in the show. And hopefully, Steve and I, if we get time later today, we're going to hopefully do our top five mock picks for the first round tomorrow night. And I got a couple of, one big surprise based on a couple of things that I'm starting to see now. You see more and more rumors starting to come out as to what we might see in the first round tomorrow night. And one of my big surprise in my mock five has something to do with it. So I hope that we can get to that maybe a little bit later on towards the end of the show, as Steve and I talked about when we were together for Monday's show. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. Also, too, the one and only Mark Zumoff, the TV play-by-play voice for the Philadelphia 76ers, will join us later on as well on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Sixers clinching the series last night in the first round against the Brooklyn Nets, winning in just completely dominating in rather easy fashion, 122-100. Did the Nets show up for that game last night? I don't think so. I think they knew the series was over after the Sixers escaped with that Game 4 victory. Yeah. On a Sunday afternoon against the Brooklyn Nets. Mike Scott with the big game winner there. So lots to talk about with the Sixers too, Steve. Yeah, it was...
He crushed them. Yeah, Mark Zumoff's going to join us today. He was just one of the absolute best in the business.
Absolutely. I love Mark. I've met him a couple times. He's a great guy, and he's tremendous at what he does. I wish NBC Sports Philly had more of the playoffs, but that's not how it works now with the NBA semis going forward.
The NHL does the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, once it gets to a certain point, rounds, they start going to the national guys. That's fine. National guys usually do a good job. There's something about listening to like somebody like Mark that's around it every single day. Right? And Mark doesn't openly root for anybody. He just does a great job. I think they're usually mostly more about the game, too, than when it comes to, we got to do a storyline here. Now, how about the Damian Lillard shot last night?
That was amazing.
Footer?
Unreal.
Right? You're watching that game last night, and it's funny because Dick Girardi and I were talking about this today. And I said, when he hit the shot, my first thought was something that you had talked about in a game that we did with Iowa. Jordy Bohannon stepped out under a minute to go and hit like a 30-foot shot. Now, Lillard's shot was 37 feet last night. But hit a 30-foot shot, and that was like, that was the dagger. And Dick said, you know, he said, the interesting thing is that is his shot. And that's what we're seeing with the really great shooters in basketball today. It really is their shot. Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, I mean, you know, even Russell Westbrook. I mean, these guys that have range, they have range. And that is... guys like that just do that. They can hit that shot. I remember that seeing, I mean, Oklahoma City was the victim of this, I don't know, was it a year ago, 2 years ago? I don't know why they start to meld together. At the end of the game, Curry just like casually walked across the midcourt line, bang, knocked down a three, went to the locker room, they were done. Okay. That's the skill level you're dealing with in this league with the highest level guys. There's just so many great shooters there are out there.
I saw an amazing stat last night after Lillard hit that shot. There's only been five players that have had a walk-off three-pointer to win a game in a series. Lillard now has two. His second one came against the Rockets in 2014.
Jeez, I didn't realize that.
Michael Jordan had one against the Cavs.
Right.
I'm trying to think of the other three at the top of my head, but I know the MJ won against the Cavs in, I think it was 88, the 88 playoffs. That was obviously one of the more well-known ones, because that's the one where he jumps up and does the fist pump.
Right.
So,
Craig Elo was trying to defend him, yeah. Yeah. What were you doing on that play? Okay. Just so you know.
This was MJ.
Okay, let's take into account who he was guarding. That was an amazing moment. Amazing play. And the Blazers move on. Now, as for the postmortem on the Oklahoma City Thunder, remember this. Remember which team was the number three seed and which one was the six. You know, Portland was the three seed. Okay? Seems to get lost in all this. Like, the higher-seeded team did win the series.
Right, and as we talked about, the Thunder, that was everybody's upset in that, and all the NBA first round was the Thunder, and it didn't even come close.
Right. Well, there's a reason you're the three seed. You were actually the more consistent team all season.
Blazers got really good shooting, good guard play.
Yeah,
they're athletic. They're quick too. I mean, this is going to be a dangerous team. You know, Dan Patrick mentioned this as they could be a possible representative and upset the Warriors. Maybe upset the Warriors for the Western Conference, but I think they got a very good chance to play the Warriors for the conference finals coming up.
It would be interesting. Denver's the two seed. I thought Denver played a great game last night against San Antonio. I think what Denver did in game four got them back on track in the whole deal. But there's a couple things with Denver that happens to be missing. And even though they have some, like Jokic is a star, but he's a different kind of star as to how he plays the game. Lillard is a big-time star. McCollum is a big-time running mate. That is... Yesterday on the show, I did bring up, not once but twice, the testimony of Marty Blazer yesterday, which implicated Larry Johnson and Aaron Maben about a $10,000 cash payment, which the Maben family repaid when Maben decided to go pro. He ended up being the 11th overall pick in the draft. Now, I'm only guessing here, and this is a pure guess on my part. The guess would be that the money would be toward an insurance policy if he came back. Okay. Larry Johnson Sr. has vehemently, in the strongest terms, denied this. But I have to remind everybody who Marty Blazer is. So let's start with that. How did this trial actually get to this point where there's actually a trial. Marty Blaser was found by the Securities and Exchange Commission, I believe, a fraud, and then lying about it and so forth. And he's facing, Matt, potentially as many as 67 years in prison.
Oh, boy.
Right. Now, how does one attempt to get 67 years and maybe at least get a few of them knocked off the ledger? You offer up information. Hey, you know, I may have information on something else that could help you guys here. And he was the one that said, hey, it was actually about college basketball that got this rolling, saying, I know about this, 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 and this. So he's the one. That's why he was the first witness called yesterday. I also did say yesterday on the show, I said, what will happen, in my opinion, is this, that in for about 18 hours, people will go, oh, right? And then the entire focus of this will go back to basketball, and there's going to be a lot more wow on Wednesday. Well, this is Wednesday, and guess what? There's a lot more wow. Not just a little bit more. There's a lot more wow. Because they were on the witness stand today naming names. And there weren't any college football names named. And by the way, Blaser, by the way, did not name names yesterday. He made insinuations, which led you to believe it was Aaron Maben, which led you to believe it was Larry Johnson Sr. But today, it's a little different today, because today it is the college basketball part. And in the college basketball part, they started to outline some of the key names in here. And as they went through it, believe it or not, you know, it came out actually looking like he was out of the loop. Was Rick Pitino. Looked like he was out of the loop in the description. Others, though, were not painted in that same realm. Okay? And he mentioned Sean Miller's name. He mentioned Tom Izzo's name. Now, remember, Christian Dawkins is, I believe, from Lansing, Michigan. Right. So, and Dawkins is a central figure in all this. But this is, again, very interesting. With, and he mentioned the assistant coaches, by the way, that have been on trial. So they've mentioned that too. You know, Richardson's name came up. You know, the guys that have already pled in this, their names came up in this list of individuals associated with Christian Dawkins. And so today they were naming. New names. Yesterday, they started out with college football. Now, don't expect the NCAA to do zero about this. Okay? They expect nothing to happen there. But it was... Let's see if I can get all the list here. Let's see. Greed fuels college basketball coaches bribes. Bum, bum, bum. and they were out there naming names today. I mean, Tom Izzo's name came up. He sat there and went, okay. Now, that doesn't mean Izzo did nothing. Doesn't mean anything happened. I mean, there could have been an attempt and nothing happened. But, and they said, and according to the testimony, the person that seemed to be the most out of the loop and clueless about the whole thing was Rick Pitino. That's interesting. He's the one working in Europe right now. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors Spring Inventory Cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 44 2019 Ford Escapes. This just in, Ford Motor Company and Sunbury Motors have increased the discounts on 2019 Ford Escapes. They're slashed to the lowest price ever offered to the general public, now at an amazing $18,985. SMC is where you want to be for 2019 Ford F-150s, starting at just $25,899. And SMC has 66 in stock. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for $14,905. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the Northwest Street Auto Plaza.
Zumoff coming up next half hour on the Sixers. Paul George said after the game last night, Damian Lillard's game winner, that was a bad shot. The game was tied, so no, it's not a bad shot. Okay, they weren't behind. And then the Sixers last night just ran the Nets out last night.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Ran them out.
Fraud team. They were done after game four.
We'll talk to Mark about that. And again, they've got the Toronto Raptors next. In the Eastern Conference, by the way, the top four seeds all advanced. So that is the story there. I gotta give you this one, okay? You know, I've talked about the waivers granted to Tate Martell and Justin Fields. Like, and we all know why they want to transfer. I mean, I'm sorry. You can come up with all the excuses you want. They just wanted I can't beat out Jake Fromm. And I'm leaving. And then I go to Ohio State. And then Martell says, I don't think I'm going to beat out Justin Fields. So he goes to Miami. I mean, in the end, that's what it really is about. Well, then you've got this young man, Brock Hoffman from Coastal Carolina. He is scheduled to transfer from Coastal Carolina to Virginia Tech after the spring semester. He wants to be closer to his mother. She had a brain tumor removed. But they're not going to allow him to play right away in his transfer from Coastal Carolina to Virginia Tech. He is going to have to sit out the season. His waiver was denied. Here's the reason why his waiver, in all likelihood, was denied. He grew up, his mother right now is in Statesville, North Carolina, which is 105 miles from Virginia Tech's Blacksburg campus, which means it's 5 miles outside the 100-mile radius. Also, his mother's condition has improved. Even though she has partial facial paralysis, hearing loss, and eyesight loss, Hoffman's appealing the decision. He's going to win this. So, Tate Martell, who looked around and said, I'm getting out of here, man. Again, I have no problem with anybody transferring. None. Zero. You want to go someplace else? Go someplace else. But unless it's a circumstance such as this, you have to sit out a year. That's my point. Unless you're a grad transfer. Grad transfer, you've fulfilled all of your obligations. And then there's this kid. No. So it's okay for Tate Martell to get the heck out of Dodge. But this kid tries to get closer so as to be near to his mom. No.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. The Sixers, the top four seeds in the Eastern Conference of the NBA advance. The Celtics will get the Bucks. Sixers will get the Raptors. The Sixers absolutely ran out the Brooklyn Nets last night. Very pleased. 36 seasons overall. 25th anniversary as the television voice of the Sixers on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Mark Zumoff. Gold standard guy. Mark, welcome. Great to have you with us.
You're kind, Steve, and of course it's a mutual admiration society. We get your games down here, and I thoroughly enjoy hearing you all these years, and back at you in spades.
I appreciate that, Mark, a lot. Wow. I said to Dick Girardi the other day, I said, I got to give Mark credit. I said, he did everything during the really tough years. I said, if anybody deserves to see something good, it's Mark. And you're seeing something pretty good right now. What has fallen into place for the Sixers in their most recent run where suddenly the tumblers are aligning for them?
I think, Steve, a couple of things. I think during this playoff series, two things happened. I think roles became more sharply defined, which I think in many ways equals chemistry. And they have established somewhat of a defensive identity. I think they need to do it for a longer stretch to be known as a truly good defensive team. But you saw some signs of that, particularly in the first quarter, where they just buried the Brooklyn Nets right after the opening tip, and it was never really much of a game. So I would say those are the two big takeaways from this playoff series. And quite frankly, it was important that they established themselves in both areas, because when you think about it, they only had 12 games together, either because of injuries or rest or whatnot. And, you know, when you make soup, it takes a little while to cook, so that, right. that it, you know, it brings out all the flavors, if you will. So if you're to buy that metaphor, it takes time to gel. But I think that they, in a limited five games of a playoff series, they made some strides in those areas.
Mark, I felt watching the last couple of games of the series that, to me, they showed a killer instinct. Did you see that as well?
I think I certainly saw it yesterday, because yesterday was the perfect time to do what they needed to do. So they jumped right on the opponent when they were teetering. So I think that displayed the killer instinct. And then when it came time to continue to do what they needed to do, they didn't let up. So at no time, and I mean at no time, from halfway through the first quarter on, did you ever feel in the slightest as though the Nets were going to muster any kind of a run. So to think about yesterday and think about your question, you know, the killer instinct, I think they certainly showed it, at least for that one game five.
The top four seeds in the East make it through. So Milwaukee will get the Celtics, and the Sixers will get the Toronto Raptors. Getting the Toronto Raptors means Kawhi Leonard. Does Kawhi Leonard, because of his physicality on defense, does he give Ben Simmons some trouble?
That's a really good question, and I would say this. Kawhi Leonard is an excellent player, and he will certainly have his share of time with Ben Simmons. That said, things are so fluid nowadays on the defensive end with all the switching that goes on.
Right.
That is typically the key, because you're always trying to get switches and matchups to your advantage. So when you look across the Raptors lineup, you say to yourself, okay, so if Ben is there as a screener, which they so often did in this playoff series, then it becomes, who is he screening with, and do they end up switching off of him, and how does all that work? So Pascal Siakam is a guy who I think could be the most improved player wiry, athletic 6'9" guy who can defend. Marc Gasol, getting up there in years, not quite as mobile, but a one-time defensive player of the year, so he gets it in terms of guarding the goal. Then you have another really good defensive player in Danny Green, the starting two guard, who is also a very capable three-point shooter. So there's four guys right there that in some sequence might get their crack at Ben Simmons, not to mention Serge Ibaka is now coming off the bench.
Right.
So I think the matchups are going to be interesting, and I'll tell you what, Steve, as I look at the lineups for both teams, I could very well see this going seven games.
I completely get that. And I want to ask you about Ben Simmons specifically. Everybody wants to get better each year in this league. As you watched Simmons this year, where is he better now than a year ago, even subtly?
Well, I want to say defensively that more often than he did last year, realizing what it is that he can do. I think in this series, you take a look and you see, well, D'Angelo Russell got his numbers, but it took him a lot of shots to get there. I don't think he was terribly efficient, and I think a lot of that had to do with Simmons. His assists were down, so I think that had to do with Simmons' length and what he could do against Russell on the ball in terms of allowing him to be a creator. Obviously, he needs to be able to develop some consistency from the outside. That's been the glaring hole in his game since we first laid eyes on him. And I had the feeling that this could be the summer where, I'm not going to say he's going to emerge a 40% three-point shooter, but develop some semblance of an outside game to make him at least a little bit more of a threat in that regard. I would like to think he'll continue, Steve, to learn how to value the basketball more. But then again, he handles the ball so much, and the Sixers like to play at such a high pace that he might cut the turnovers down, but still might be like a 3-turnover-per-game guy. So, and then posting up and some of the other things that he does, I think that he's gotten a little bit better at that. Ben Simmons is an all-star, and he's going to be an all-star every year now. For the foreseeable future, he's become that good without a jump shot. With a jump shot, he'll be even better.
He'll be certifiable if he has a jump shot.
Yeah, who you telling?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Which then brings it to Joel Embiid, Mark, because Joel Embiid is year in and year out an all-star. When you watch him play, Mark, what are some things that stand out to you as somebody who has sat in that chair for a long time that really separates him from others?
I think he plays, Steve, with a joy that helps to fuel him. I think a lot of what he does on social media helps to fuel him. I don't think he ever really truly means in a nasty way a lot of the stuff that he does and say. I think it's truly in the spirit of competition. I think those are the things, along with some of the supernatural things that he does for a man his size, his mobility, his agility, his ability to just simply handle the basketball, Euro step around a guy, that kind of stuff, to the point where, you know, people say all the time, you know, put him in the block, and the Sixers certainly do that. He could be, as long as he doesn't turn it over, a really valuable contributor facing up from the top of the key. It's not unlike Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
They play him in a similar way where they'll get him the ball at the top of the key. And then he becomes this gigantic, rumbling, creative point center where he can drive to the hoop, create for himself, or create for another teammate. Joel, I think, does that as well as anybody.
Yeah, Jokic made a couple plays last night from the top of the key where they were backdooring San Antonio last night. I mean, certain guys just have such a feel for the game that they have that ability to make everybody else around them better. And I've always felt when I look at Simmons and Embiid, they make everybody else around them better. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, Simmons is a quite obviously a pass-first guy, which is the primary requisite for a point guard. And then I think Joel has learned to be a better passer. His assists clearly up from a year ago, learning to not only just learning to identify the double team, but in many ways invite it, much the way Charles Barkley used to in that left block where they got on the ball, and he just dribbled, and say, come on, guys, double team me, because I'm going to pass it out to somebody like Johnny Dawkins or Mike Jaminski, right, who can hit a jump shot. So Yeah, both guys. And listen, this infects the entire team. They were third in the NBA behind Golden State and Denver in assist percentage, which is field goals that come by way of an assist. So Brett Brown has gotten them to buy in on that end of the floor. And with those two guys, it's been fun to watch.
Which then brings me to my last question. That does deal with Brett Brown. You've watched him go through all the trials and tribulations, and now he's got people to work with out on the floor. What kind of job has he done meshing legitimate talent together in legitimate big-time situations?
So let's take the two guys you were just talking about.
Yep.
Joel Embiid, who missed his first 2 years as a professional, yet somehow they were able to develop his skill set to the point now where he is arguably the best big man in the game. You have Ben Simmons, who a lot of people thought, you know, and it was a kind of a risky move in the NBA to declare a 6'10 rookie a point guard. And in his second year, well, his first year was rookie of the year, and second year he is an all-star. And now if you fast forward through this year, the Sixers literally had three iterations of their team. They had the one with Robert Covington and Dario Saric starting, and then in came Jimmy Butler, and he assumed his role. And then in early February, the big changes where they got Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic and Mike Scott.
Right.
So you've had three different iterations of the team, and you've had a total of 26 guys wear the uniform for at least one game. That's a franchise record. And still they won 51 games. They were able to produce the first round playoff series win against Brooklyn, and now they look pretty good heading into this Toronto series. So I think all things considered, Brett Brown has done a terrific job. I know that there are high expectations for him, as there should be. I understand that from an organizational and a corporate standpoint, and I think he's up for the challenge, but I think that people should think about the big picture and where he has brought the team and what the circumstances have been this past season.
Well, it's been another great season for you. You're a gold standard guy, and I appreciate the time you gave us today, Mark. Great to have you with us.
Anytime, my friend. If you want me to speak to a class, just let me know.
You know what? And he's one, but believe me, he does this all the time. You do a lot of sports casting classes all the time. I got to get you at least even on a conference call to talk to my kids at some point along the line, because they're going to learn a lot.
FaceTime, Skype, whatever you like.
You got it. Thanks, Mark.
All right, my friend. You got it. Take care.
The outstanding Mark Zumoff, the voice of the Sixers on NBC Sports Philadelphia. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai SUV from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is having their spring SUV sale, where you can save over $5,000. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the 2019 Kona, discounted up to $3,503, starting at $22,435. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 16 2019 Hyundai Tucsons with discounts up to $5,059. An athletic Tucson all-wheel drive starts at $23,105. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Hyundai Spring SUV sale is going on now in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. 2019 Santa Fe all-wheel drive start under $25,000, and the Santa Fe XLs start under $29,098. Now is the time to find your next SUV at Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. So let's get to the college basketball trial for a moment. Then we'll get to the NFL draft next half hour. Yesterday, football was at the front in the establishment part of this about Marty Blazer. And let's see. They brought up a lot of names today. Rick Pitino's name was brought up.
which you would expect. Of course, he's been removed as the head basketball coach at Louisville. Christian Dawkins' attorney Steve Haney said the government brought up conversations between Dawkins and Sean Miller of Arizona. He will file a motion tomorrow morning to have Judge Ramos reconsider ruling that barred Miller from being called to testify for the defense. On the tape, Dawkins said this of Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino may be the only person who doesn't know what's going on. Like, Rick has no clue what's going on at his school at all. But most of the bigger guys, they know. Well, okay. I thought that was an interesting quote from today. He said, Marty Blazer said, I understood him to mean that Sean Miller was talking about inappropriate things in recruiting players, like paying them. Dawkins also said Sean Miller has to know everything that is going on. I can call Sean and have a conversation like that's what's need to be done here. Also, he'll talk on the phone about stuff he shouldn't talk about on the phone. So, Dawkins then says Miller told him, quote, I want to bring you in. I'll turn everything over to you. Government witness Marty Blazer testifies that he understood that to mean that he has been taking care of payments for DeAndre Ayton. Sean Miller was taking, quote, care of everything. So there's a lot of Sean Miller in here. And as I said yesterday, yeah, okay, certain things about college football were mentioned yesterday, and obviously for Penn State, and I addressed this yesterday. I'm not going to get back into it again. How many times Larry Johnson Sr. vehemently denied it. I mean, he vehemently denied it. But the bottom line is it was brought up. And no comment from the family of Aaron Maben about the $10,000 that was paid back. Now, if I'm guessing about the $10,000, and it's just purely a guess on my part, is that if you're thinking about $10,000, maybe it was toward an insurance policy if he came back and played, which he did not. He ended up saying, "No, I'm going to the draft." But Larry Johnson has vehemently denied that he said any of that. He says, this is the first time hearing of it. So, now, I don't know what's true, what's not true, obviously. And the other part of this is for Marty Blazer, who knows what to believe with him either. I mean, he already has been one of those guys who has, he starts out, and this is what the defense will establish, he starts out with a credibility problem in all this. But today, college basketball, it was naming names day today. And he mentioned the assistant coaches that have already entered plea agreements, but then he mentioned some other names. And one of the names they threw out there was Tom Izzo's name today. Once again, that doesn't mean anything happened. And remember, Christian Dawkins is from the Lansing area. Yeah, so that's the story. We'll keep everybody up to date on it. I addressed the Larry Johnson stuff yesterday. And I said, I did say that if it is true, I would be disgusted. Now's a question of finding out the credibility of the witness versus the credibility of denial. It's interesting when it comes to Alabama, for example. The big story is that Alabama's, the school of Alabama, was mentioned in the witness stand, but that Nick Saban's having hip replacement surgery. Okay, well, obviously they're taking it seriously. All right, draft coming up next half hour. We're going to go to one of the guys that wrote a feature on Miles Sanders for Pro Football Focus, and they, you name it, they do the analytics, they run the numbers, they match up the tape. Pro Football Focus, when it comes to the draft, I'll tell you, I'll say this, you notice there have been a lot of mock drafts, like 1 through 100 lists, Matt. Well, I haven't been seeing Imani Oyelowo's name in there. Not on Pro Football Focus. They've got Imani as the number 35 guy in their overall board.
Whoa.
Yes. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.